head and say, hello, God. Amen. Hallelujah. And not only be able to say that, but feel the response of a God that says, hello, my child. Amen. Because he is always there. He never takes a vacation. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Amen. I give honor to the executive board and to the general board and to Brother Robert Martin and all those that are doing such a great job with our young people. Amen. You don't have to look any farther to find good preaching than what we've heard this week.
Amen.
Amen. Good singing. You know, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Amen. We need to realize that in a day and age when everybody seems to be backing up, are taking a new direction, are deciding, Brother Caples, that it's better to do it another way, that we've got a God that never changes. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we are like Christ, being Christians, that's Christ in us. I believe God's looking for some young people that'll be the same yesterday, today, and forever as we are being like our Savior. Why don't we clap our hands to him this morning? Hallelujah. When we realize the awesomeness of what we have accepted as apostolic young people, there comes with that something that many of us have missed, and that is a respect for what we've received. Amen. Because many a pioneer has blazed the trail before us to hand to us on a silver platter such a great and precious gift. And that's just one God message. Amen. And we need to realize the responsibility that's been placed on our shoulders as this generation to take this to a lost and dying world. Let's turn this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I also would like to give honor to my parents and to my wife and to my in-laws and everybody else. I'm marrying into the Wilson families like you married half the assemblies. But it's so great to be able to marry into a heritage. But it's so great to have been born into a heritage. Amen. My father is a minister of the word and my grandfather before he. And I thought, as I was praying this morning, as my grandfather preached his last message at 84 years old, and they escorted him from the pulpit almost to the hospital with chest pains. And he passed away that night just fresh out of the pulpit, ministering the word of God. I thought, God, what a responsibility I've got to accept for this great salvation that my grandfather paid a price for. We're talking about the days, young people, when pastors wasn't full-time pastors. They worked a job, and then they pastored the church, and then they went on down the road and visited all the saints. They were in this with everything they had. Many a life has been given for what we reap the benefits of today. And we need to respect that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 reads like this. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? In times past, they used to carry the presence of God, Brother Mike, around on their shoulders. But now God has placed this gift in earthen vessels. So therefore, we become the tabernacle of God. Why don't we raise our hands and ask God to bless us this morning? God, we pray that you would reach down with your mighty hand of mercy. God, anoint my lips, God, that I can speak your anointed word. God, anoint their ears that they can hear, their minds that they'll understand, and their hearts that they'll obey. God, let us be changed. Let us be regenerated. Let us be renewed in your spirit this morning. God, let us realize that we're not just accepting some flim-flam, but this is the foundation that our salvation is founded upon. God, let us be changed this morning, and we'll give you all the praise. And everyone said amen. You can be seated. I would like to title this morning, if you will. From verse 10, it says, according to the grace which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth their own. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. I would like to speak to you this morning on the topic of learning to respect the foundation. Learning to respect the foundation, as I've already said, we don't have to look any farther for good preaching. I would say the apostolic ranks have the best preaching going. We don't have to look any farther for somebody that can sing the glory down, if we can feel the Shekinah glory as it starts to move with the anointed singing of God. We don't have to look any farther for those things. But maybe one thing we have left out, and that is to respect what we have received. And that is this foundation that we're founded upon. That rock which is Christ Jesus. We need to realize that we're not just handed some intimacy, teeny-weeny something that we can go over and build a doghouse on. But we have been handed a foundation that we are founding our soul saving salvation on. And the sooner we learn to respect that, the better we will be. The sooner we realize, as Moses said in Hebrews 11 and 25, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. It said that Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And the reason was, for he had respect unto the recompense of his reward. It wasn't because Moses wanted to make a name for himself that he went away from the things of Egypt to suffer afflictions with the children of God. It was because he respected what he was founded his salvation on. We need to learn to respect. We need to realize today that we many times come into the house of God and we say, well, Brother so-and-so's leading the service tonight and I just don't know if I can get happy with him. We step into a Sunday school class and we say, Brother Shepherd, I don't know if I can get anything out of this class because old Brother so-and-so's teaching this. We need to learn to respect anybody that our pastor would put up and a place of authority, as it being what God would say to us, and accept that and go with that and realize that if we don't respect it, we are rebelling against our salvation. Your pastor's not going to place anybody there that can't do the job. We've got to learn to respect it. Oh, I just can't get happy with him. I know what kind of life he lives. They probably know what kind of life you live too. But we need to all understand this together, that many times we go in and we say, Pastor, I tell you what, this rubbed me the wrong way today. As my dad tells him many times, if he has rubbed the fur the wrong way, you may need to turn your cat around. Do you understand what I'm saying, friend? Many times we come in and the pastor steps on our toes and we say, well, I just don't know if I can go with that. Let me tell you, friend, if the pastor is leading out of what thus saith the word of God, if we're going to be saved, we must say, God, I will respect that. I will live by that. I will abide by that. I will do what you say. He said, another foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, and that is Christ Jesus. And many times we take the awesomeness of the foundation that's been handed to us and we treat it as if, well, it's just something that we can build temporary on. When we go out and build a temporary building in the building business, we don't pour foundation. I said when we go out and build temporary buildings, we don't pour foundations. We build piers. We put a pier on each corner, a pier maybe in the middle, just something to hold the weight for a little while. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? We need to realize that Jesus Christ went to Calvary and He paid the price for our salvation. He bought our redemption. He was there and He said that He gave His life so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And may I say to you today that more abundant life, Brother Shepherd, is not a temporary life, but it is something that is eternal. And Christ had it in His mind that He would lay a foundation that we could build something up on it that would last forever and forever and forever. We need to take heed how we build on this thing. We need to realize that Jesus Christ did not die in vain. So many times we come in and we say, well, it's just Wednesday night. It's just Bible study night. It's just youth service night. It's just disciples for Christ. It's just, Brother Richie, men's prayer breakfast. It's just the gathering, so I'm not going to go. We need to realize every time that the church doors are open, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We need to realize that if the pastor saw fit for us to have church, bless God, it's time to have church. We need to start having respect for what we built upon. We need to start realizing that the pastor was placed there as our shepherd, as the man, the watchman on the wall, and he looks out for our soul, and he realizes that when someone's trying to come in and steal that sheep out of the fold, the pastor can look out and say, hey, I believe we need to have prayer meeting, and if we're not careful, we'll not respect that, and we'll become a victim to the enemy simply because we're not respected the foundation that our salvation is founded on. How foolish would it have been? I was talking to Brother Johnson on the way over here this morning, and he said, Brother Tim, can you imagine building a building like this? And I said, no, sir. I said, I'd be even afraid to even guess of how many square foot is in this place. And the more I thought of that, how foolish would it have been for the city of Cincinnati to have come in and poured this foundation. And there's probably millions of pounds of rebar for reinforcement in this foundation. I could not begin to tell you how many yards of concrete it took to pour the concrete in this building. But how foolish would it have been for them to pour in such a massive place? Out on the outer edges, they may have had to dig a footing that would go below the foundation or the pad that we see, some 8 or 10 foot, maybe more, probably more. Go to all that trouble and come out and right in the middle of it, build about 1,000 foot square foot building and say, man, haven't we done a job? Go to all the trouble, the expense, the agony and the pain of getting the foundation just right. And build a building in the middle of it that you could have set up on temporary piers. How great a salvation has been handed to us on a silver platter. And we come in and spend 5 minutes in a prayer room and expect the glory to fall. I'm saying to you this morning, we're not using all the foundation. I said, we're not using all the foundation. Because if it was so, we would already have been raptured. Because Jesus said, another foundation can no man lay. So that means that we have not even began to fulfill the foundation that is around us, because there's only one God. His name is Jehovah. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation, and we must build upon Him with respect to who He is. We're standing here in the middle of a massive foundation, and we're saying, God, is my little building enough? And God looks down through His telescope and says, child, there are deeper depths and higher heights. He says in Malachi, prove me this day, saith the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to contain. Let me tell you something, folks. Malachi wasn't just talking about money. I said Malachi just wasn't talking about money. He was talking about us expanding out and saying, God, I want to take in the whole foundation. Because Jesus, You paid the price on Calvary. You gave Your life so that I could reap the benefits of it. You gave Your life so that I could have this blessed salvation. And if we don't start to respect what God has given out for us to lay our house upon, that foundation that He paid the price for, if we don't say, God, I'm going to take the full benefits of this, we may stand before Him as a rich young ruler and lack just one thing, and that was that we did not go into the depths of God and say, God, I will to experience You in Your fullness. We've not even stretched the surface of what God wants to do for us. We haven't even began to build the buildings that God wants us to build. Why? Because His foundation, it is great, it is large, it is without measure, it is there for us so that we can come in and say, God, let me have it. God, I want to experience something. I want to go to a new place. I want to try something different. We're sitting on a foundation, and we've built our little walls, our four walls of security. And as long as nobody can get in, we're not worried about getting out. God's sitting on the mercy seat crying His heart out, saying, oh, take heed how you build on this foundation. If we hired an architect to come in and shoot the grade and to pour, Brother Mike, the foundation of a great building, and then we went out and built a small building on that, we would insult that architect because we would say, well, we don't know if your foundation can hold up the kind of building we want to build. So we have decided to lessen of what we were going to build, and we're just going to try to just keep it right here centered, and we're not going to try to go out and expand any of our house. We're not going to try to go out to a new field and try to get the gifts of the Spirit in operation in our church. We're not going to try to go out and let somebody get healed when they come into our congregation. We're going to let our young people go on and not understand what tongues and interpretation is trying to be in operation in our church. If we're not careful, folks, we will confine ourselves to a smaller building than what the foundation will hold, and we will raise an ignorant generation that will not know the power nor the voice of God. We need someone. The Bible says that this is a building. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Listen to this, folks. God had a plan for us to expand. When he said in Ephesians 2 and 21, he said, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. It was God's ordained plan for us to expand on the foundation that he has laid for us. It was God's ordained plan for us to reach out into new places, into new atmospheres, into new realms, and reap the benefits of his Spirit. We need to come together as a body. He says we're fitly framed together. We can take, and when they bring in a house on a truck, you find studs, you find 2x6s, you find 2x8s, you find 2x10s, you got plywood, you got the shingles, you've got brick, you've got all these things there. But when they start to bring all that together, it looks so scattered, it looks so distorted, it looks so messed up. But when a master builder gets a hold to the plan, and he starts to say, look, we've got a foundation here, and this is what we've got to work with. So if we go as a wise master builder, we can bring this together and make it be a house that would be worthy for somebody to take their family into and be secure in it. We need to be in the atmosphere where the pastor can say, okay, church, we're going to have a little building program. We've got doctrine settled. We've got holy living settled. We don't have a problem with standards. That's the least you can get by with anyway. You go buy a standard car. See if you get a CD player. God's saying, we've got all this settled. The pastor's there. We're right where we need to be. So let's be new creatures in Christ Jesus. He needs to look out and say, hey brother, how is the wing of love going? And somebody says, yes pastor, we're loving them with the love of the Lord. And he needs to look another place and say, hey sister so and so, how's the wing of joy going? And we need to say, yes pastor, we've got joy on the foundation. He needs to look another way and say, hey,
how is the renovation of peace going in the church? And they say, yes, sir, Pastor. We're loving one another. We're getting along with our brothers and our sisters. We're learning that we are in this together. And he looks another way. And he says, how about long suffering for that prodigal son that's coming back home? And somebody says, yes, sir. We're praying backsliders back through. And God's smiling. He's saying, yes, church. You're getting a vision of the foundation. You're starting to respect what I have paid the price for. And the pastor looks a little ways. And he says, hey, brother, how about gentleness? And we're saying, yes, sir, we're taking these young lads in, and we're getting them in new converts classes, and we're teaching them that hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And they're understanding why we're baptizing in Jesus' name. They're understanding why we're reaping the benefits of holiness. Why? Because we're honoring our God. And God's smiling. He's saying, you're starting to understand. You're starting to respect what I gave my life for. You're starting to realize, church, that it's more than just Acts 2 and 38. But I also put Acts 2 and 39 in there. And he said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Jesus Christ was saying, open up the windows of heaven. Open up the doors of the church and let hell, church. Hey, brother. How's the wing of goodness? We're coming right along. We're starting to realize that if we will do good to those who despitefully use us, that God we'll take care of the rest. Amen. We're starting to learn these things. But you know what it is? All it is just an extension of our salvation. It's just an extension of Acts 2:38. I submit to you today, if Acts 2:38 alone will save the apostolics, John 3:16 alone will save the denominational world. Hear what I'm saying. I said if Acts 2:38, and that's all we're going to take, and not realize that there's a broader base that we have to adopt into this salvation, and that'll save us by itself. They can take John 3:16 and love their way into heaven, and that's all they've got to do, because that'll be about all we're doing. Because we're not respecting. We're building real small on something that God has placed our whole soul saving salvation upon. And it goes on. How about the wing of faith? Yes, sir. In the room of faith, we've had to expand that, Brother Shepherd. You know why? Because we've made us a trophy room. We started hanging crutches in there. We've got us a hearing aid can. We've got us a wheelchair place. We've got us a place where folks can come in and they feel the Shekinah glory. They come in and realize they hadn't walked into some deadhead church, but they walked into a place that is experiencing the depth of Christ. They're experiencing what this foundation is about. They're going to respect what God has given them. How about meekness? Everything's all right. How about temperance? Woo! It's a little slow. But the consolation we've got is that we're on the foundation. Do you hear me today? I said some things may be working slow in your home church, but we must realize that the area is there for us to expand if we will just by faith step out and do it. We need not take our walk with God so lightly and say, God, I just don't know if I can do that. God's never placed more on you than you was able to bear. Every time the adversary comes to tempt you, he has to make a detour by the throne of God. Put it on God's scales, and God says, well, they may not can handle that. Take a little off. God loves you, folks. He didn't stick us out in deep waters and say, learn how to swim. Amen. I said, he didn't stick us out in deep waters. What did the writer say? He said, I started out and it was ankle deep. I said, it was ankle deep. And then when he realized that there's more to God in Acts 2:38, he said, he kind of got up to his knees. Then we realize there's more foundation out there than just loving everybody into the church. And it kind of got up to our loins. And before too long, we find ourselves swimming around in the very Shekinah glory of God. We start to feel the power of God everywhere we move. We start to feel the ordained power of God in our song service, in our worship service, in our Sunday school classes, and all the gatherings we have. All our young people come together for just a time of fellowship. We start to feel the power of God. Why? Because we have started to respect the foundation of our salvation. We're swimming in this thing. Friend, we need to realize it's more than just ankle deep water. God didn't put us out there. He brought us into this. He has fitly framed us together. You will never see a house built starting at the top. And that most every child has been thrown out in deep water and said, learn how to swim, has had to be brought back. It says, let's start here. You know why? Because some good swimmer had to go get them. And some mama blessed the daddy out for treating her baby that way. And we're loving them back in. And we're saying, let's start here. Let's get it right here. If we can put it in our young people now, let me tell you something, parents. If your boy or girl at 3 or 4 years old can sit down in front of a Nintendo game, and remember every place they're supposed to bump their head, every place they're supposed to lift their foot, every place there's a cable they're supposed to make a kind of twitch. I'm talking about 3 and 4 years old can whoop most of you adults. Because they sit there and remember all that. They get it in their mind. I'm saying if they comprehend Nintendo, they comprehend that we're founded on the foundation. If they remember all that stuff, they remember, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is but one Lord. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. If they can remember that, they can remember this. The problem has got into the home, and there's no respect at home, so there's no respect for salvation. There's no respect for the foundation. Let me tell you something, and I'm trying my best to get out of the way. But we're living in a place, folks, where the pornographic shops outnumber McDonald's by 3 to 1. I've got an 18-month-old boy that can't even hardly talk, but he can see those golden arches, and he's in McDonald's. You know why? Because there's a playground there, and he thinks about that. But friend, I'm trying to tell you that if we don't start respecting our foundation, that the God of this world Every time you see a McDonald's, there's a pornographic stop somewhere with filth and carnality that's reaching out for your child. There's three more of those to every McDonald's you see. I want you to know we're going to have to get it in our young people while they're young, that we're going to have to submit ourselves to God and be spiritual and obey what the pastor says. The problem we've got today, and I'm fixing to close, Brother Mike, the Bible plainly says that another foundation can no man lay. And we're sitting out here saying, Pastor, he's saying, folks, we need revival. We need to fill up the prayer rooms. We need a visitation program, not one that lasts a month, but one that lasts a lifetime. Folks said visitation is outdated. That's a lie the devil started. He said, go ye out to the highways and the byways and the hedges and compel them to come in. The pastor's saying, we've got to have a burden. We've got to become dedicated. We've got to become consecrated. And we're saying, Pastor, hold on just a minute. Let us get the foundation done. And we're digging. Jesus is looking from glory saying, another foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Jesus Christ himself being the head cornerstone. We're saying, yes, Pastor, but let us dig the foundation. And Jesus Christ looks down and says, another foundation can no man lay. Take heed how you build upon it. I want you to know, friend, it was already enough damnation for those that didn't build on the foundation right. Where will those stand that get off the foundation and try to dig another? Peter looked up, and any of you that know the building business, you can't dig a foot when it's raining. Any of you builders ever tried it? I've been on the jobs, have the chalk laid out, have the backhoe there. Brother Richie, the man sitting on the backhoe to start to dig the footing so that we can pour that foundation and it be secure. And all of a sudden it starts raining. We've got all this stuff invested. We've got that on jobs and pray, God, don't let it rain. We're trying to dig a foot. We're trying to get this foundation laid so we can build a house. Don't let it rain. Because when you rain, it gets slick and we start to move around. We can't move the dirt. It just won't cooperate. You know what God's doing? Peter looked at him and said, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith the Lord, I will pour. Out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams, and all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out on in this day, in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. We're looking up to God. We're saying, God, we're trying to dig the foundation, and God's saying, get out of the way, church. The foundation's already laid. You can't dig a footing with the latter rain falling. You can't dig a footing with the latter rain falling. We need to start respecting the foundation that we've got. We need to get on this foundation and say, God, I'm happy with my salvation. I'm happy with this foundation. I'm happy with my God. I'm happy with my Redeemer. I will not get off. We're saying, God, We've got to dig this foundation. God says, move. I want to let it rain. We've got to get this foundation laid. God said, get out of the way. The latter rain's falling. Are you getting it, folks? You can't dig a footing in the rain. You can't dig a footing in the rain. You better get out of the muck and the mire. You better get on something that'll stand. You better get on something that's secure. You better get on something that you look at the world and say, shake on world. Do what you want to do. I am founded on that rock, and that rock is Christ Jesus, and He is the chief cornerstone. And I'm going to take from what He has already laid and start to build a house that will be a habitation for the Spirit of God. As you stand today, we don't need to have children without features. Brother Mike, somebody look at your boy and tell, he's a Wilson. Brother Mike said he hopes so. You know why? Because there's features there. I assure you, some of you that don't even know, there's probably not many here, but you don't have to ask Patrick Wilson who his daddy is. That's very evident. He's Brother Steve made over. You know why? Because he's got that walk. He's got that talk. He's got those features that make him Steve Wilson's son. And I say today, when we start getting to the place where our young people don't respect the foundation, we'll raise children that'll be like children without features. They won't look like us. They won't act like us. They won't talk like us. They won't preach like us. They won't sing like us. They won't pray like us. They won't love like us. They won't even know the Spirit of God if it walked down the middle aisle of their church. But if we place in them a respect and say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is but one Lord. See, God was teaching this foundation business from the beginning of time. When Jesus spoke the parable of the two that was going to build the house, He said one built his house upon the sand. The other built his house upon a rock. He said the floods came, the storms came, the winds blew. That one that was founded on the sand fell. That one that was founded on the rock stood. I'm telling you today, folks, it wasn't what they built that made the difference. It's what they built it on. Your young girl can dress just as holy as the next one and not be founded on this doctrine, and she'd be swept away by the world. They have hair that'll drag the floor, sleeves that cover their fingertips, dresses that you can't see their shoes, and not respect the foundation, and they fall. We better respect this. We need to learn to respect it. As it's already been preached, if you lack understanding, ask for it. If you don't understand what's going on, say, God, help me. Somebody's going to have to pay a price. You know, there's a million people in the world play basketball. But only 56 men a year get a chance to play in the pros. You ever thought about that? That's an elite group. But you know what? When you start to interview the pros, when you start to interview their coaches, Brother Cables, they'll say, oh, so-and-so, he's the one that when the coach said, okay, practice is over, he wanted to run a few more suicides. He wanted to run into the weight room. When the coach said, okay, boys, no cheating, you can't get any water during practice, this guy wasn't there. He was saying, coach, if you say do it, I want to be a pro, and I'll do it. I say today we need some professional saints of God that'll go above and beyond their call of duty and say, God, I'll do it. God bless you.